respected clinical experts.
Jack Ebling is on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back, Jack and Scott, Ebling and you, 1320 WILS. Michigan State basketball back in action, year 16 for Tom Izzo, and beginning with a very exciting performance last night. Not that the game was competitive, but certainly the way Michigan State looked had a lot of people salivating. And want to welcome in Gus Kanakis, who's worn just about every hat imaginable in Michigan State athletics, and former coach, broadcaster. Hey, Gus, how are you?
I'm good, Jack, and a reader of yours.
Well, of all of the things that you have seen with Michigan State basketball, it's easy to get kind of spoiled by success here and almost put Final Four on the schedule, as Tom likes to say. But this year's team looks like it certainly has the capability to contend for that again.
Yeah, he has an abundance of talent, and I think he's got a team there that he can work with, and that was very encouraging last night, their performance, the fact that he has those, he's got a veteran basketball team, as you know, but not just that they're experienced, but they had valuable experience, since several of them have gone to two Final Fours.
Right.
And then you add in the other players, particularly the three promising freshmen, and so everything looks very good, and of course the expectations are very high. But the good thing about it is that the team and Tom, the coaching staff, have embraced the high expectations.
Right.
Not normally the coaches, like to play it down, but they've embraced this, and I think that battle cry to win the national championship is embedded.
I guess it's always a good sign when a coach's biggest problem is how to apportion minutes among very talented players. You used the expression earlier this afternoon about passing out minutes with an eyedropper.
He's got a cadre of bigs that he can work with. I mean, they're talented, they're good size, and they're versatile. It's going to be interesting how he manipulates the pairings there of the four-man and the five-man. I think he'll start off with Roll at the five and Draymond Green, who can play just about anywhere, at the four. But then you put Nix in there and the freshman Payne, and last night we didn't have Sherman.
Right.
And then you got several players, the freshman Ghana might be red shirt, but yeah. he definitely showed some ability for a big man that can shoot, and it's a good mix that they have there. In addition to, he's got a very sizable man that can work in the scouting team and get some minutes, and Annie. It was an Okemos duel there that played very well, and Keebler and Annie.
Yeah, exactly, from that team a couple of years ago. And, it's interesting when you see a guy like Alex Gauna, who in other years would have been brought in and maybe force-fed into the playing group. And now, you're right, Tom has talked about redshirting him. And he has a lot of options. Last night, as you say, two of the players that you got to figure are going to be in the playing group if they're not starters. We didn't see them. But I want to talk about a couple of the players we did see, Gus. You've watched Michigan State basketball since the 40s. How often have you seen a player with the basketball IQ of Draymond Green?
No, they're rare. I mean, with the ability that he has. Many of them have that moxie, but don't have the ability. I mean, he's got the ability, the physical ability. He's got the intangibles. His awareness just amazes me, on offense. But then the defense, I found myself last night as the game wore on kind of just checking out the individuals, particularly him.
Right.
And a couple of things the things he does on defense off the ball, when he's guarding off the ball, it's like the other team is going against six guys, he's aware of where his man is, but he's also so aware of what the man with the ball is going to do. And And then he can help out, which really impedes the harmony of the other team offensively. I mean, he just he's so aware of everything on offense or defense. And then he's going to be playing either the four, you know. And I
right.
think that in basketball, the four man and the point guard are the most important positions in modern basketball. I mean, you got to have guys that shoot. And incidentally, this team shots very well.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
another encouraging thing about Michigan State's team this year. They had six guys that hit 3-point shots.
Yeah.
You know, they were 9 of 19 from the 3-pointer. It
right.
was six guys. That's that means that they've got people that can shoot the three. In modern basketball, in a collegiate world, you've got to have at least two that are pretty reliable 3-point shooters. And I think Michigan State, in all the perimeter positions, the three perimeter positions, will all be able to, will be shooting some more threes than we're used to seeing under Tom's teams.
Yeah, I think that's a very astute assessment, Gus, because in going back and analyzing each one of Tom's teams in detail, the two things that have stood out among the best ones have been the kind of play they've gotten at point guard and having a four man who's versatile enough to go out, stretch a defense, shoot a three, make some things happen that you would not normally find. But when you mention the intelligence of Draymond Green on defense, it reminds me of something Judd used to say about Irvin Johnson. Of course, they were playing a zone, and Michigan State had been using primarily man-to-man, although Tom keeps threatening to use some zone. But he said that Irvin is the best player on offense, obviously, and the best player on defense that no one knows because he makes everyone else's job better since he knows everyone else's responsibility and tells them where to go.
Yeah, you're right. And that Draymond has that capability and doesn't have the size of an Irvin and maybe not the skills with the ball, but still he has some of that. Yeah, you're right. And you're right about the Tom. In fact, earlier, if you remember in a press conference, he said that he likes this team so much he might have him play zone.
Well, he liked him so much last night that he couldn't think of anything bad to say, and I know he was trying.
No.
You know,
right.
You don't want to get the team thinking that they're better than they are or relaxing in any way, and he just couldn't come up with any negatives.
Yeah, I think he had to be impressed. The fact that they came out and they adhered to what they had been doing for the last few two, 3 weeks in preparation prior to that, a lot of film watching. They played as a unit, as a team.
Right.
They shared the basketball.
Yeah.
They scored off of their operation, and they stuck to it. They never deviated. There hardly any one-on-one stuff.
The other thing that impressed me last night, Gus, and again, we're talking about an exhibition game with Saginaw Valley, so this isn't exactly the finals of the Maui Invitational, but they seem very, very coachable. And if you watch them at practice, they're all looking at him instead of looking at the floor, looking in the crowd. And last night, he talked to two players I know and gave direct feedback and got direct responses. And in one case, said, you know, let's try to make somebody else better. Boom. The next two possessions were assists. And then someone, and he said, you know, you can play a little harder on defense. Don't look at the scoreboard. And the person drew the first charge of his career.
Yeah, that's right.
So,
they got great communication, player, coach. There's so much cohesion on this team, you know, where you fear that during basketball, because basketball is a team game, but also it's an individual game, and you hope that they'll come together, and this team seems to have that.
Gus, you've seen a lot of athletes at Michigan State, but very few have the package that Adrian Payne does in terms of athletic gifts, the wingspan, the quickness, the jumping ability. Can you think of anyone who's a good comparison to him?
No, not with that size. You know,
yeah.
Johnny Green came in as he was an untested player. You know, Johnny Green never played high school basketball, and I guess everybody knows the story. Came out of the Marine Corps and walked on at Michigan State and became an All-American, went to the Final Four in 57, I think.
Yeah.
But Johnny didn't have – he was a raw talent, and then he developed the things that Payne has later, but he never had that size. That's as impressive about him. He's like 6'10". He looks like Will Chamberlain out there sometimes when he runs the floor. I mean, he's so long.
Yeah.
And not just as, you know, from his feet to his head, but he's, as you mentioned, his 7'2" span with his arms. And then he plays. He utilizes that span he has, and not only with his arms, but with his width. And his, whenever he's on defense, he's always in a flex knee position, wide base. He takes up space laterally,
right.
And then he's got the space as far as the height is concerned. Plus, he can handle the basketball. I mean, shot well. He made a three-pointer last night.
Yeah,
he's got a lot of talent, and so, you know, it's going to be interesting how he manipulates Tom. I'm talking about manipulates those bigs, because we're talking about all of those guys, and then you got Knicks in the mix. You know, he's a talented player that's got got a lot of basketball awareness also, and got the girth, you know, as well as ability.
Well, he's got the girth, but he's lost a lot of the baby fat. And, you know, we're doing a piece for Sport Magazine, Gus, with Draymond Green and Morris Peterson. They're both six men. They both developed to the point. One's an All-American and a pro. The other one certainly looks like he could be at some point. And, you know, he looked at some before and after pictures of Draymond. You say, what happened to the rest of them?
Yeah, they really got it. You know, that Mike Borkovich, who does a great job with the basketball team as far as preparing them physically, and Knicks and Draymond and all of them, it's amazing how their bodies have changed each year.
Gus, the last thing I want to talk to you about is scheduling. And you have seen Michigan State do this before. You know, every once in a while, Tom starts to question his own sanity, and then he comes out with a schedule that's even tougher. This year, they've got that 10 p.m. start against South Carolina, and then they go to Maui, and it looks like they're going to run into UConn, and then Kentucky would be waiting on the other side of the bracket in the championship game. They just get back from that, and they play Duke, and then they've got Texas and Syracuse in December, just so they don't fall asleep. Then they get in the Big Ten schedule, where three of the top five teams are from the conference. Do you recall a schedule any tougher than this that you've seen?
No, particularly because after it's over, you're going into a tough Big Ten schedule, which in the last couple of years, you know, couldn't say that.
Right.
You have, you know, he plays some tough non-conference teams. In fact, last year. And then, you know, now the Big Ten, we can rest, you know, get some W's.
Right. But rest boy, of the conference,
not,
yeah.
Right. That's not the case this year. I mean, there's some tough teams in there. Illinois is going to be tough. Ohio State, everybody that I talked to, when they mentioned they've watched Ohio State practice and play, it talks about this guy, Sullinger.
You know?
I guess he's a beast.
Well, and, I haven't seen him at Ohio State, but I certainly saw him at AAU level, and I haven't seen anyone quite like him.
No, that's what everybody, they just rave about him. I mean, and then, you know, Purdue is still good, even though it's so sad about Hummel being injured again. That's such a tremendous player, meant so much to that team. And but Illinois is very good, very good.
Yeah.
And let's see, Wisconsin will be decent, and there's going to be some tough games, and it's not conference. Because it kind of reminds me when, you remember, Tom wanted to go all those, want to have his team play and at all those sites like Pauley Pavilion and Carrier Dome and Kansas, you know, at the Namath Center there. We, you know, he would have had about six teams in there. But this one reminds me of that. It is a killer non-conference schedule.
Right. Gus Kanakis, former Michigan State head coach and broadcaster for how many years now you've been doing the games, Gus?
I think 50.
All right, we'll see you at the second exhibition.
Okay, right. Thanks, Jack.
Gus Kanakis.